No dairy, no sweets, only ripe vegetables, fresh fruit and whole wheat. I'm from the old school. My household smell like soul food, bruh. Curry falafel.
What's up, Beardos? Welcome to episode 26 of The Bearded Vegans. I'm Paul.
And I'm Andy.
And we are The Bearded Vegans, a podcast featuring a dissection of all things vegan.
If you're just tuning in for the first time, you can find all of our previous episodes on the Commentist Network, which can be found at thecommentist.com, and you can reach us by emailing thebeardedvegans@gmail.com.
In today's episode, we will find out where in the world Andy has been, go over some vegan news, and then conclude by asking the question, should we stop using the word vegan? I don't know. We'll find out later. So let's start off. Andy, what's been going on?
Well, I've been kicking around the Bay Area just a little bit longer and been repeating a lot of places. But one place that I did get to check out upon the recommendation of a few people was Sanctuary Bistro. And that is in Berkeley. It's a really cool spot. It's like nice, but not super fancy. Mm-hmm. And I went for brunch and got an omelet that was really good. And I feel like most vegan omelets at restaurants are kind of dry and just like this like chickpea flour pancake. But this was like nice and creamy, had good flavor. It's way better than the Follow Your Heart vegan egg. So that was nice. But the star of the meal was a vegan creme brulee.
Ooh la la.
Which, have you ever had that, vegan or not?
I feel like I've had it like once. Not vegan, so a while ago. I feel like I have had it once, but I don't remember at all what it tasted like.
Yeah, I don't know if I've had one since going vegan, and so I don't really remember what they tasted like. All I remember is you're supposed to have the, you know, flame broiled candy top and then some kind of custard thing below, and it was fantastic.
Cool.
That would be the reason I'd go back. And I'm down in LA now, and I stopped into Doomy's last night and I got their creme brulee, and it was not nearly as good. So it was fine, but it wasn't amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned the omelet, because I remember going to Veggie Galaxy and seeing that they had a vegan omelet. And that was the first I had ever seen like anywhere that had a vegan omelet. I didn't even know it was a thing before that. And for the next like 17 times I went to Veggie Galaxy, I got only the omelet every single time. And I was like, this is amazing. How do they do this? And now I'm starting to see it like pop up in other places. Some of my friends have made some before. And I'm like, oh, I guess it's not as special anymore. But I just remember how magical it was at first.
Yeah, I think the first time that I ever saw a vegan omelet was in the Vegan Brunch cookbook, which was put out by Issa Chandra Moskowitz. And I remember seeing it, and it was just, you know, yellow patty folded around some asparagus or something. And I was like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. And I don't know if I actually made it or not. So it probably wasn't until I went to Veggie Galaxy that I actually tried one. But
yeah.
Anyway, so that was Sanctuary Bistro. They seem to do a lot of support for people in the community. I know on the receipt, it says, hey, bring this receipt in and you can get 10% off your purchase at Animal Place's Vegan Republic, which is an all vegan grocery store in Berkeley that Animal Place sort of took over, so it all benefits them now. And they carry Compassion Company shirts. So it's a cool place. Anyway, so that was Sanctuary Bistro, and that's the only restaurant that I'm going to talk about this week.
All right, so what's going on in the news?
This is something that is very exciting, and it is the first ever Plant-Based Foods Association. So it's basically a vegan food lobbying group, although they're not specifically a vegan group. Like, they'll welcome companies in that don't just make vegan food, but it's a collection of tons of vegan and plant-based businesses. And I guess we'll get into the distinction between those two terms later in the episode. But according to an article on the QZ.com, and of course we will post a link to this and every other article that we talk about on the show on the show notes, which is at thecommentist.com. But according to this article at the QZ.com, the executive director of the association is food and public health attorney Michelle Simon, and she says, the deck is stacked against plant-based foods because they cost more and people can't find them. The new association, she says, is aimed at leveling the playing field. To do that, the organization will educate retailers and food service companies about these products. and it has hired Elizabeth Kucinich, who previously served as policy director at the Center for Food Safety and as director of government affairs at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, to represent the group in Washington as its policy and partnerships consultant. And if anyone recognizes that name, she is Dennis Kucinich's wife, and they are both vegan. And then delving further into this information, an article in the New York Times said, this is quoting Elizabeth Kucinich, in general, she said her goal was to level the playing field so that plant-based foods got the same consideration as meats in debates about school lunches, dietary recommendations, and even environmental issues. Quote, it's really to make sure we have a seat at the table. The association will probably lobby, for instance, for federal subsidies for plant-based milks to be served in school lunchrooms, as schools are currently reimbursed only for serving dairy milk, and will take on the Food and Drug Administration's standards of identity, which prescribe what ingredients and in what quantities are needed to say, call cheese, cheese on packaging and labels. What do you think of that, Paul?
Well, I've definitely seen, I mean, maybe it's just because I'm more attuned to these things in the past few years, which could definitely be a possibility. But I've definitely seen, for specifically schools, a lot of, there seems to be a big push in like the vegan community to get more like meatless Mondays and just to get more veggie vegan options under the guise of like, it's healthier for you. So that seems to be a really big push. And this seems like it'll be a positive step for that. I actually wrote as like this, this is just an aside, as this like senior project or senior report thing I had to do about education in college, I wrote like a op-ed piece about meatless Mondays in school classrooms. And I remember when it was posted online, it got some pretty negative comments from people. But yeah, so people are still opposed to it, but this seems cool. And especially, I mean, obviously schools is something that's close to me. I know at my school they do have like a vegan, there is a vegan option that you can have. I don't know how many kids get it. The rest of the options are like real gross, like vegan or not. They're just like breadstick dunker type gross.
Breadstick dunkers?
Breadstick dunkers. It's just like a piece of bread and cheese and that's it. And you dunk it in sauce.
So yeah, I think this will hopefully have a really good positive influence. And I like that they're very focused on, you know, plant-based foods. I know that there's also the Vegan Trade Council, which is pretty new. And I also hope that they go on to do great things, though I always kind of worry that they are not as focused because, you know, my vegan company certainly has different interests than Tofurky does or than like a makeup company does. So the plant-based foods will have a much more narrow focus. And hopefully that can help sway some things, because it's about time that we get that sweet, sweet lobby money on our side.
Yeah.
So that's the news. Let's move on into our question of the week. Paul, what is the question?
The question is, should we stop using the word vegan? Our clickbait title of the week.
So before it's going to be a little bit of a journey before we get to the actual question, because there's an article and a response to that article that led us there. But this was published a few weeks ago on Ecorazzi, and the article is called, "If You're on a Plant-Based Diet, Stop Calling Yourself Vegan!" Exclamation point. And so this article starts off by saying there's a movement hijacking the vegan one, and it's called plant-based. And it goes on to further say, while a plant-based meal might also be vegan, a person who eats plant-based often is not. You can eat nothing but arugula for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but if you then throw on a pair of leather shoes and head to SeaWorld, you're not a vegan. The majority of people who eat plant-based foods also won't necessarily eat all vegan foods. You see, many vegan favorites aren't plant-based at all. I'm sure some of the vegans with a sweet tooth, hi, will try to convince you that a second serving of Oreo crust chocolate tofu pie originates from plants, but it doesn't. I feel like those still originate from plants. They're just sort of
processed,
highly processed and turned into something entirely different.
Also, I just, as an aside, another aside, like four years or when I first went vegan, like 4, 5 or 6 years ago, I had Oreo crust chocolate tofu pies all the time. And when I read this, I was like, they're talking to me.
Well, I think that obviously the point is that most people who ascribe to a plant-based diet, though probably more accurately whole foods plant-based diet, obviously scoff at the notion of eating Oreos or, you know, Earthbound mac and cheese and all that stuff. So, and that's certainly, we've touched on that a little bit before about how people sort of, you know, someone will post how to eat vegan at Taco Bell and then everyone just flips out and gets upset that it's not the healthiest thing. So, you know, I've certainly felt ire towards that crowd in my life. But then the article goes on to sort of, the article then goes on to describe what is a vegan. So it says, well, for starters, it's not a diet. We eat lots. And aside, you know, diet just sort of refers to what people consume, not necessarily have to be aiming towards eating less food or weight loss or whatever. But anyway, unlike eating plant-based, going vegan is something you become. A total rejection of using animals extends far past the plate or grocery store. In fact, you might make three or more animal-free meal choices a day, but your clothing, cosmetics, cars, employment, and relationships are all affected by a choice to follow veganism too. It's rooted in peace for all sentient beings. If that means eating white bread because the only other buffet options have eggs in them, so be it. And then the article concludes by saying, asking, can't we all get along? And then says, sure, we can rub elbows at a whole food salad bar without scrapping. But truth is, someone can be doing just as much to damage animals, to the planet, and to themselves on a plant-based diet as they are on an omnivore one. Rather than advocating that people make the switch to Meatless Mondays, it's important that vegans focus on the big, moralistic picture. It's not right to use animals for any purpose on any day. I won't applaud Ricky Gervais for being against hunting while he continues to eat meat. It's hypocritical to pat the backs of people who think refraining from eating animals makes it somehow okay that we don't question if they wear, hunt, and are entertained by, or in any other way, use animals. So, Paul, what was your initial reaction when you read this article?
So, my initial reaction was that I agree with kind of like, I guess the general idea of what this author was saying, but maybe not a lot of the specifics. I don't know what I mean by that is, I think the author is right in saying if someone is purely just what they're calling eating a plant-based diet, so they're not necessarily concerned with the clothes they're wearing or if they're going to the like the circus or the zoo or anything like that, then there is areas where they could, I would say, live a more compassionate lifestyle, which is what I think both of us agree that being vegan is all about, living the most compassionate life that you can live. But I think that it, like the author gives off a very like us versus them kind of attitude. And it's like, almost as if, like, if you're just eating plant-based, so if you're just doing it for the what I usually call a health vegan, if you're just doing it for that, then you might as well not even be doing it at all. Like, it almost feels like that's what they're getting at, and it's almost like an all or nothing. And while I do think that, I mean, everyone has something that they can work at, they can work to live more compassionately, I think it's better to have that mentality than just saying like, no, you can't be in our club because you're not doing everything up to my standard of what that means. So that was my initial reaction. And I know we have, I think Andy, you've said this many times and I had never put it this way, but after you've said it, I'm like, oh yeah, this is right. That the vocabulary that I feel like we've used is that people eat a plant-based diet, but people live a vegan lifestyle. And so in that way, like, I do agree with what the author is saying, but maybe not just how they're putting it. So that was my initial thought.
Yeah, I also agree. Like, I felt that, like, factually everything that was being said for the most part was in line with my worldview. And it's like, yes, technically if someone is putting on leather shoes and then going to SeaWorld, I wouldn't call that person a vegan. But yeah, it just feels like it's the type of thing that's going to really turn people off. And I am not, and we've talked about this on previous episodes, I'm not necessarily in the camp of being like, we need to expand the definition of veganism so that we'll have more vegans. because I when it comes down to it, I do feel like it's important to sort of have this specific term that kind of describes what the ideal is, or sort of the, you know, what we should be striving for, which is, you know, considering the effects of all of our actions in our lives, especially with our consumer purchases. But it's also, and this will get to our question in a little bit, it makes me worry that there's too much of a focus on having this label and having this vegan club, and not enough focus on getting people to take the actions that are going to do the most good for animals. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I wonder if that ultimately is causing more harm to animals, because there's just this focus on making new vegans. Are you vegan yet? Like, have you made the switch? Instead of encouraging people for taking those smaller steps. And, you know, anyone who's listened to the show, this is a consistent theme about sort of always using your language to reflect that veganism is the ideal as far as, you know, many of our actions go, but that it's not, or that it's okay to encourage smaller steps along that path.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I feel like kind of misses the point in the article is there's this sentence which says, rather than advocating that people make the switch to Meatless Mondays, it's important that vegans focus on the big moralistic picture. It's not right to use animals for any purpose on any day. And to me, I don't know why we can't do both of those things at the same time. I think mm-hmm. that it's important to get people to understand why they should do Meatless Mondays, and that involves educating people on the ethics of animal use, and at the same time saying, hey, like, this is the reason why. This is the big picture, and here's your first step. And for many people I've met, and I was skeptical of Meatless Mondays, to be honest, but I've met plenty of people that have gone vegan because of it. And obviously that's anecdotal evidence. Who knows if we advocated for vegan, you know, Monday through Friday, if we'd meet more people that went vegan. But it just feels like it sort of paints this black and white kind of, you know, dichotomy between these two options, and I feel like both of them can exist and support each other in the bigger grand scheme of things.
Well, what do you think about, because I mean, I've definitely seen Meatless Mondays portrayed as like, hey, eat less meat because you're killing animals, but I don't know, I've seen just as much, if not more, Meatless Mondays where the focus is more on health, and that could just be because whatever organization is promoting Meatless Mondays, they're doing it and they know that people are going to be less likely to do it for the animals and more likely to do it for health reasons. But if that gets people to realize, maybe people that eat meat every single day for every single meal and are not, like, don't even think that it's possible, if it's for health reasons, or if that's the reason why they're doing Meatless Monday, do you think that's okay for the fact that it's getting them to realize that they can, in fact, have a diet that doesn't consist of all meat?
Well, I think that, in my humble opinion, that educating people solely on health is not the way to go. I mm-hmm. think it's a tool in the toolbox. I don't think it's the main attraction. And for me, I feel like I see a lot of Meatless Monday promotion that kind of focuses around the environment, you know, sort mm-hmm. of that, you know, I forget the exact statistic, but like, if everybody just skipped meat for one meal, that would be like taking 500,000 cars off the road. I feel like that's often a big focus of the Meatless Monday campaigns as well. And I think, yeah, maybe that's like by design. If Meatless Monday was focused around promoting the ethics of consuming animals, maybe people would be like, well, why wouldn't I just eat them all the time? If I'm, you know, why not eat them just one day a week? Like, is that really making a difference?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if maybe it would be like, and that's certainly something, an objection that comes up often when promoting veganism and talking about animal rights is, well, I can't make a difference. So I don't know, maybe promoting that bigger picture in association in addition to Meatless Mondays would just make people go, well, what's the point? But,
Do you think, would it make you feel better about it if, like, even though if the environmental aspect or the health aspect was the main thing that was being promoted in the Meatless Mondays, would you feel better if there was, like, it was also like, hey, so you're like, you're doing more for your health and you're saving a lot of animals. Like if it was in there, but not the main thing, or for you, do you feel more comfortable if it's kind of like, that's the big one that's always in the forefront? And I'm not talking about, and I will say, I'm not talking about like individual conversations, because with the Meatless Mondays, a lot of time, you know, it's like, it's being promoted on like a bigger scale. So it's not necessarily like, oh, I've had this conversation with you and I know that you're more likely to do this if I bring up the health aspects in addition to the animal ethics behind it. I'm talking about like, oh, I'm promoting Meatless Mondays to a wide variety of people, and I'm saying it's better for your health and it's better for the environment. Oh, and by the way, it's also going to be better for the animals. Like, would that make you feel more comfortable with it, or would you rather have the animal thing always be in the forefront?
Well, I think, it, you know, say if I was to design the ideal, like, Meatless Monday brochure, mm-hmm. I think it would use phrasing similar to what you just said, that's like, hey, you can save a lot of animals, and at the same time, you're going to help the environment, and it'll be good for your health if you do these things, you know, if you eat mm-hmm. plant foods and not just French fries and Oreos or whatever. I think doing something like that is good, because you're kind of casting a wide net, because you're not sure what's really going to speak to anyone.
Yeah.
And I do think that it's, you know, the health is important because it gets people doing it in practice. And then once presented with the theory of ethics and animal rights, people are a lot less defensive, because I'm already not doing that, so that's cool. Oh, you telling me I can also save a bunch of animals while doing this and I feel good doing it? That's cool. And I, you know, obviously I feel like there's a lot of vegans like myself who go the other way, where it's like, oh, you telling me that like this greatly decreases my risk of heart disease and certain cardiovascular diseases and diabetes and whatnot, in addition to all these animals I'm saving? Like, that's pretty cool. I'm glad it's better for the environment, even if those aren't my main goals. So, mm-hmm.
I think we're on about the same page with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess just the thing about this article is that it just feels very off-putting. Like, even though I agree, I'm like, if you are just eating plant-based foods, you are not technically a vegan. But it almost is kind of like, what is the purpose of creating this article? Who is this for, and how is it going to serve the greater purpose of what we all want, which is to, you know, lessen or end the abuse and use and exploitation of animals. Mm-hmm. It's, we know that the brain doesn't react very well to feeling like they're being accused of something or yelled at. And obviously this is in print, but there is an exclamation point in the title. So, I don't know. I am not someone who just eats plant-based reading it, but I imagine someone reading it would be like, well, fuck you then, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree too. Although I wonder, I don't know. Do you think, no, there must be. I was about to say, do you think there's a way, and I've always said we should talk about this on an episode, that the way to kind of talk to people that are doing it solely for the health reason or solely for the environmental reason, to then convert them over to the vegan side, where they stop wearing leather or stop going to SeaWorld or anything like that. Like, what is the appropriate way to go about talking to those people? Because in my opinion, they've already crossed over the main barrier that blocks people from going vegan, which is, oh, meat's too tasty to give up. I can't give up meat. That's like the main, I feel like that's 99% of the struggle that people have when you're trying to promote veganism to them. So they've already overcome that. So it's like, there's much less of this barrier. And I'm just wondering, what is the appropriate way to then, or not necessarily appropriate, but what's the most efficient way to then get them to kind of make the next steps?
Yeah, well, I think that it's important to make sure that you're not sort of conveying that this feeling or this message that you're like, you're not doing enough, you know?
Yeah.
It's sort of, for me, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, it's really, you know, like, well, I guess it just depends. Yeah, it's all very individually tailored. But if it's like, oh, yeah, like, it's so cool that you're not eating animals, like, you know what happens to them. And And they're like, yeah, it's messed up. I'm glad I don't contribute to that, even though I'm doing it for my health. And you're like, have you ever thought about this? Or, you know, it just really kind of depends on the person and what kind of tone you have to talk to them. But mm-hmm. it's always good to sort of build on their empathy. And instead of taking the, well, you care about this, but you don't care about this, so you're a hypocrite. And instead, you know, that's like a negative approach.
Yeah.
Instead, you can take a positive approach, which is like, oh, that's so awesome that you care about this. If you care about this, you might be interested to learn about this thing as well. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool that you did this for health. Like, did you know that you're saving this many animals a year? Like, how awesome is that?
Yeah.
You know, things like that, that sort of reinforce that, you know, the positive reinforcement of what people are doing. I've, in my personal experience, have found that to be significantly more productive than taking the reactionary, you care about this, but you don't care about this, you're a hypocrite. I find those types of approaches and those types of politics in general for any number of issues, well, they might be true and they usually are true, but it's not going to be the thing that really gets someone on board with your, you know, with whatever the cause might be or whatever change you're trying to get them to make.
Yeah. It's really wild how much psychology has to go into thinking about the most effective way of veganism. It's almost like what's the best? I don't know. It's wild, man. It's far out.
Yeah. I mean, the human brain, it's a fucked up thing. And obviously a lot of time and effort is spent by a lot of people trying to figure it out. And I think the more and more that we research and apply different methods, the more that, you know, we sort of have been learning that, you know, the brain doesn't work how we think it necessarily works. Oftentimes it's very counterintuitive. And oftentimes it means doing things that we don't feel the best about, but are going to be more effective in the long run. Maybe that means promoting Meatless Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me personally, Meatless Monday only comes out of my mouth if we're talking about it on the show or if someone starts talking about it already. But I do talk about, like, hey, find your first step, whatever it might be. And that's another thing that if I was designing my perfect Meatless Monday thing, it would, you know, start out with, hey, so you're looking for your first step to, you know, saving animals, helping environment, feeling better, whatever it might be. And sort of always framing it like that. And again, in a way that's not like you're only going to do this little first step. But just be like, oh, it's so cool that you're trying to take that first step. Like every journey begins with a single step, like whatever it might be. I think it's really important. And something else actually that I noticed in the article that I felt like was really misleading was in that final paragraph that I already read. But it says, the truth is someone can be doing just as much damage to animals, to the planet, and to themselves on a plant-based diet as they are on an omnivore one. And I feel like we can just wholeheartedly reject that notion, you know, especially as far as the number of animals that are killed.
Mm-hmm.
It's 98% to 99% of all the animals that are killed for human use are for food, and that's why so many of the mainstream organizations focus on changing people's diets instead of getting them to not buy animal tested cosmetics or whatever it might be, even those are certainly worthy and noble causes. But just looking at it practically, getting people on board dietarily is what does like the vast majority of the good numbers wise.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm always quick to let people know that when they're like, oh, vegetarian, you know, cut out the crap, all that stuff. It's like truly there is actually a pretty minute difference in the amount of animals that a vegetarian contributes to killing versus a vegan. And obviously a vegan, in my opinion, has a different mindset of how they're kind of looking at the world compared to a vegetarian. And I would prefer people have that vegan mindset, but it's really counterproductive to discourage vegetarians, tell vegetarians they're not doing enough. And there's ways to let vegetarians know that there's more that they could do that will be constructive and want to keep them on the team, as opposed to just being like, all these vegans were mean to me. you know, and it's like, yeah, of course it shouldn't matter if someone's mean to you. Like if something's ethically right, you're going to do it, but it certainly doesn't help anyone.
Yeah.
If vegans are sort of taking that antagonistic stance towards vegetarians.
Definitely.
And so on reading this and exploring, I found a response to this article, which was on theveganstrategist.org. If that name is familiar, Tobias, the author, was also the author of an article we discussed last week. So there's actually a lot of really good and interesting and thought-provoking articles over there. And, you know, not stuff I always 100% agree with, but I think certainly it's always good to challenge how we think about certain issues. And I've changed my opinion on things based on articles over there. But basically, he had the same kind of response that we did that ultimately was counterproductive. But the final paragraph is what I wanted to discuss and what sort of leads us into our big question of the week discussion. So in the article, it says, I had this thought. In the end, I might get so disappointed with vegans and veganisms that I, a vegan for the animals, would refrain from using it altogether. But the problem is, then the only people using the word will be the more fundamentalist ones, and we'd have to start all over again with a new word. So I guess I'm not ready to give up on the word vegan yet, and rather be one more person who uses it in a rational, compassionate, positive, and inclusive way. Want to join me? and so, yeah, I don't think there's any need to rehash the rest of the article, but that specific paragraph definitely got me thinking. It's something that I think about often. Of, you know, what is the usefulness of the word vegan, and is it something that will get more people to, will be able to inspire more people to make the changes that we're hoping for them to make if there isn't a specific label, if there's just sort of a vague general ideal that people are striving for, which is like eating as little animals as possible, using as little as possible, and it doesn't feel like there's some club that you have to get into. So, you know, I really am not firmly set in either sense of the word. And obviously veganism is a thing that's kind of very firmly ingrained in my life, both in terms of this podcast and my business and my activism. And it does seem like a really convenient word to just sort of encapsulate everything. But what do you think about all that, Paul?
I mean, I think you bring up a good point that it is, it is a convenient word. And in that, like, we can go to a restaurant, we can go somewhere and say like, oh, I'm vegan. And that means something to people. I think being convenient is important for veganism because, a lot of people don't want to do it because it's too hard. I'm doing air quotes. And, one thing I really liked about that article that Andy didn't mention this part, but, there's a part that where Tobias literally quotes from a psychology textbook basically about the idea that if you are in a group, if you have a strong identity, you're in a group, in this case, the quote, ethical vegan group, you actually don't like it when another group is similar to your group, as opposed to some, like, you like that even less than a group that's like diametrically opposed from you. And I think that really plays into what our original article was talking about, where it's almost like these people that are either, you, if you want to call them health vegans, if you want to call them, they're eating a plant-based diet. They are, I mean, even lifestyle-wise, they're pretty close to what we are. Really, they're missing like maybe the clothes aspect, the entertainment aspect, but like diet is the one of the main parts of leading a vegan lifestyle. It's not the whole thing, but it's one of the main parts. So it's like a health vegan or someone that's eating a plant-based diet is really close already to what we're doing. So it does seem as this, as Tobias is kind of making his point through this psychology textbook, it does seem strange that we're so against people that are doing this just for the health reasons, or not necessarily against, but we're so either skeptical or we're quick to say like, you're not doing enough, when in fact, I mean, they're pretty darn close to where we are, and it's going to be a lot easier. It's going to be, and Tobias also says this in the article, it's going to be a lot easier to target those people with the ethical message than it is, and I was kind of saying this before, than it is to someone who doesn't even understand how you could possibly live without meat. So I thought that, cause we read, I think Andy and I both read the Tobias article second. It was kind of like, at least for me, it was kind of like, oh yeah, these are like, this is what I was thinking of when I read the original article. And now it's like very concisely and eloquently written out for me. So, while I kind of, like I said before, I do agree with a lot of the general ideas of that first article, I really connected with this second one, the Tobias article.
Yeah, and I definitely agree that obviously, you know, the people that are 98% of the way there are going to be much more likely to go the full 100% than someone that's 0% of the way there. And this is, I guess, kind of an aside, but it made me think about when the Black Lives Matter activist interrupted Bernie Sanders at his rally, and, you know, the liberal left got really upset and like, well, he's the one that's doing the most for your community. Why'd you target him? Why wouldn't you go after Trump? And the response was kind of like, he's going to be the one most likely to listen to us. And so it's like, yeah, like you want to go after the people that are going to be the most likely to listen, that are already kind of caring about the issues, to get them where you want them to be. Obviously, getting people to go vegan requires a different approach. At least that's what we think. Although last episode we talked about people who would take that approach in terms of veganism or animal rights. But, you know, it definitely is like, yeah, we should be championing and encouraging the people that are so close to us. Paul, do you think that there is any merit in being upset or concerned that, you know, the plant-based dieters are kind of watering down the definition of veganism? Do you think that there's a fear that will make it so that everyone's just like, well, you just got to eat the food and then you're done, and that we won't get the rest of the way? Do you think there is any legitimate concern there?
I think right now, no. And that's because, again, the diet aspect of it, of being vegan, this is what I really think. I mean, I don't have any like statistics to throw out or anything like that. But what I really believe is that the diet aspect of it is what's preventing the majority of people from becoming vegan. Like, I mean, no one's like, you'll see protests at like zoos and stuff like that. And I'm sure some people, you know, it's just like people aren't as passionate about going to SeaWorld or something like that. I'm sure there are people, but for the most part, people aren't as passionate about going to the circus or going to SeaWorld. Those are things that I feel like if really pressed on, people would give up. And I think we have seen that with like SeaWorld and when Blackfish came out and a lot of people, and like this whole Cecil the Lion thing, going back to our first episode, I think it's like people are willing to take those steps because it's not as huge of an aspect in their own lives as literally what you're eating every single day. So I think right now, to go back to answering your question, right now, I think it's okay that people are promoting plant-based diets, because I do think that that's the largest barrier in someone's mind to becoming vegan. And I think if we can get to a point, because even now, like, people are against plant-based diets, if we can get to a point where that either becomes the norm, or not even becomes the norm, but it just becomes like generally accepted. It's like, oh yeah, eating plant-based diet, like, yeah, I do that. That's good for you. And people are just like, yeah, I'm eating a plant-based diet, and that just becomes the norm. Then I think we can shift the approach to be like, okay, cool. Now that you've gone that, take the next step. And I mean, it doesn't need to be the thing where you're promoting one, the health aspect of it, and then once the person's there, you're promoting the ethical aspect of it, which is what we were talking about before. It's like you can be doing this all at the same time, but because there are going to be people like Andy and myself and a lot of others that are going to be promoting the ethical side with using the tools that we have, the health aspect, the environmental aspect, using those as tools, I think it's okay that there are also people that are promoting the health aspect of it. Again, because I think that's just, for me, that seems like that's what's going to get the most people to become vegan. If maybe it's plant-based first and then vegan, maybe it's just plant-based, but that's going to be what gets the most people to stop eating the most amount of meat. And I think when it comes down to it, like, that's what we should be focusing on, which is what's going to get the most people to give up meat. And I think people that are promoting plant-based lifestyles can play a role, a positive role in that.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously, as long as it's being promoted in a way that's not sort of body shaming
yep,
people.
Definitely.
Which obviously we both agree with that. But yeah, I think I agree. I guess I do kind of worry that it might, the term, the the practices associated with the term make it so far away from the intended use of the term, which is no animal use or striving for no animal use, that, you know, if we take the stance that right now it's okay, but 50 years from now we'll want to be more strict about it, I worry that it'll have lost its meaning. But I guess to the question, it's like, do we even really need the word? Do we need something that is like describing who a person is? Does that make us feel more exclusive? What is it about, you know, someone that's 98% there, but they're just, they're not quite, you know, maybe they eat a little honey, or maybe they have leather shoes, or maybe they visit SeaWorld once a year. What is it about someone that's like so close to where you are that is almost like more frustrating and more angering than someone who's so far away from where you are? Like, is it because it feels like they should get it and they should go that full distance, whereas someone that's just so far away from it, you're like, ah, there's no hope for that person. Like, I'm not going to waste my time being upset at them.
I mean, the way that I'm thinking about it right now is that it's like the place that we're at right now, if you can get someone to live a plant-based lifestyle, not necessarily what we would consider a vegan lifestyle. If you can get someone to live a plant-based lifestyle and you've kind of talked to them, you've been like, hey, like, how about, like, let's talk about like the zoos, or let's talk about SeaWorld, or let's talk about your clothing. And they're, for whatever reason, really resistant to that. I mean, where we're at right now is that there are so many people that are not living a plant-based lifestyle that I feel like you might as well just kind of move on to focus your energy on a different group of people or a different person. And then maybe later that person will have, like, maybe on their own will come to it. Maybe later, or maybe someone else will say something that'll change their mind, or maybe later you'll come back to them and they'll change their mind. But I don't know. Right now it's almost like, to me, it doesn't seem like it's unnecessary and damaging to yourself to get so hung up on like a single person that you're, if you're just expending all your energy trying to get one person to go vegan and that person is so resistant, it's really gonna bum you out, and it's gonna burn you out too. So it's kind of like, I don't know, just don't. What I would say is, like, if you've talked to this person and they're just like super resistant for whatever reason to take that last step, I mean, maybe just give that a rest for a while and focus on other people. Because like I said, the place we're at right now in the world is that there's always going to be another meat eater that you can have some nice positive discussions with about trying veganism.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly most definitely a recipe for disappointment and getting really upset if you're just focusing all your energy on one person. So I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, it's like, I think you can certainly talk to that person that's eating the plant-based diet, talk to them about it. But, and like you said, it is going to be frustrating because you're like, oh, you're so close, just go the next step. But like, don't destroy yourself over that one piece. I mean, it's like, there's always other people to talk to. There's always, I don't know, there's always more positive relationships that you can have if that one is really negative for you, if it's really taking out all your energy. That's what I would say, at least.
Yeah, and I think that I do believe that the change starts with the food, starts with the diet, because that's something that you eat three or more times a day, hopefully. and that's where it begins. And I know even for me personally, like when I went vegan, I think I had like a pretty good idea of what else would be required of me to really feel like okay with calling myself that label.
Yeah.
But, you know, I certainly went to aquariums like 2 or 3 years into being vegan, and I wasn't, you know, I was just like, oh, they like help animals. It's, you know, and there's just certain things that I wasn't educated on. And if, you know, if someone came along and gave me a bunch of attitude about it, I would certainly have a really negative reaction. And it was just something that I kind of found on my own. And obviously the animals need more than people just sort of slowly discovering stuff on their own. But ultimately, it's hard for me to see someone making the other changes before they make the dietary changes. I'm sure there are some people out there. Maybe there's someone who started by getting rid of all their leather. And I know there's a lot of people that are really into, you know, not animal tested cosmetics and whatnot, but I think it's safe to say for the vast majority of people, it does start with food. So, you know, that's the plant-based dieter right there. And those people will be more susceptible to taking the next step.
Yeah, I agree too. And it's tough because, just to repeat what you said, it's like when you see a vegan, like I totally did the same thing. I'm sure I went to aquariums and stuff at the beginning of my veganism. And it's just like, sometimes you don't make the connection. And if you're going to be an effective advocate, you have to realize that some people haven't made the connection yet. And rather than like chastise them for that, you want to kind of help them along to make that connection. And I think having like a positive conversation is going to be a lot better than just yelling at them.
Absolutely. And so, you know, with us basically in agreement that it's important to embrace plant-based people because hopefully they'll take the next step. Do you think there's value in having the term vegan? Do you think it's something that we should be continuing to use, or do you think it's something that's just going to sort of put people off?
I do still think, even after saying all this, I do still think it's important. I think that if we didn't have the term, it would be even more people being like, oh, well, I'm living this kind of lifestyle where I don't eat meat, but I'm eating honey, or I don't eat meat and honey, but I eat eggs, or I don't do all that stuff, but I wear leather. I think you'd have a lot more people like, I mean, and I definitely think anyways, there is like, to some extent, a spectrum. Well, of course there is. There's a spectrum of how people are living. And it's kind of like vegan isn't necessarily, the label vegan for me, isn't necessarily at the very end of that spectrum. It's not on like one extreme, but it's kind of somewhere close to the end. Because there is some things that like we've talked about before, there's some things that I'm sure myself and Andy do that other people would criticize us for that. And which is fine, because we're always looking for ways to improve ourselves. But
like eating Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
Yes. Well, I was thinking like eating chocolate and stuff like that, but ethically sourced chocolate. But I think if you didn't have the label, there would be less, like if you think about the spectrum, there'd be less people kind of crowded who are now label themselves as vegan. There'd be less people crowded on that one end and more people kind of spread out throughout. That's what I think would happen. Obviously I have no idea what would happen, but I think besides that too, it just, you know, it's like, while we're not doing this for ourselves, we're doing this for the animals. I mean, you're allowed to feel proud about who you are. And this is even though maybe it's not your main identity, it's probably one of your identities. And I think that's something that's important. And I think that's something to be proud of as well. And I think that's going to, if for no other reason, I think that helps people stay vegan too.
Let me ask you this. Can you relate with the sentiment that Tobias put in that final paragraph of just sort of feeling fed up with or embarrassed by vegans? And do you ever feel like sometimes you wish you didn't have to use the word, or that you would stop using the word and just be like, all right, jerks, you can have it. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm still going to eat, you know, I'm still going to live a vegan lifestyle, but I'm not going to apply the label to myself. Like, do you ever just feel so embarrassed by the rest of, or many other vegans, that you feel like giving up on the term?
My gut reaction immediately was to say no. But then I recalled that so many times when I'm at restaurants, instead of just saying I'm vegan, I say like, oh, and by the way, I don't eat dairy, and I don't eat milk, and I don't eat butter, blah, 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 blah. And sometimes, for the most part, it's because a lot of people, or some people, many people don't know what exactly vegan means. So I want to convey that. But also there is some sense of like, oh God, this person's going to think I'm like a paint throwing like PETA member. And so it's like, I don't want to say that I'm embarrassed of that, but I don't know. I just generally like to avoid confrontations, especially when I'm just trying to order my food. That being said though, it's like, I do not agree with Tobias that I would ever want to like give it up, because I think what we can do, because it's like, if you think about any, it's like any identity that you have, there's going to be people in that group that have different views that you don't agree with. And that doesn't, I don't think that should mean that you have to give that identity up completely. And if there's other people, and this is what we talk about literally every episode, if there's other people who are doing things that you don't agree with, that you for example, think are like problematic, rather than just saying, oh, well, like these people are promoting veganism in a, like a racist and sexist way, rather than saying, well, then I'm not going to call myself vegan. I think it's much more important than to say like, hey, if you're going to call yourself vegan, like don't do those things and try to, I think that's trying to better the community rather than trying to just remove yourself from it. I think that's going to have more of a positive impact on the world.
Yeah. And I think Tobias was basically saying the same thing that, don't let the jerks win. Don't let the bastards grind you down. keep fighting that good fight. Keep maintaining the integrity of the vegan label in terms of being a good person and letting people know that there are, vegans out there who are not as judgmental and are welcoming to those, even if they aren't, fully where we would like them to be.
Yeah.
And I can definitely relate to the sentiment, because there are times, many times, most of the time perhaps, where I'm just kind of embarrassed to be associated with a lot of the folks.
Yeah.
And usually it's not even the people that are writing articles like this, because I get where this person is coming from. Obviously just don't like the method of delivery. But, it's kind of like when I see your sort of everyday Facebook vegan interacting with people and getting into certain arguments and using, bad facts and math and science or just name calling and all that stuff. And, it just makes me want to be like, wow, there's so much damage control that we have to do in a situation like this that I don't have the time or effort or patience to do this. But, when you have, like 50 people in a row calling someone a fur hag or something, and you're just like, oh, come on, like we can do better than this. I can feel that sentiment of being like, you know what, fuck it, you can have it. I'm going to keep doing my thing. But yeah, ultimately, I feel like it's still kind of a word worth hanging on to. And
yeah,
it's just overall, I do think it's necessary to have the label for better or worse. It's just, I think that we can just hopefully alter how people interact with that label and maybe not treat it with such ownership or mm-hmm. such, club mentality, where there's like a line you have to cross and then you're cool. But if you like, even right up, if your toes are on that line, you haven't crossed yet, then like, we think you're the worst person ever. when it's so easy to just reach out that hand and gently pull the person across. So yeah. So I guess that's how I feel. Like ultimately, I think it's still a word that we should be using. It still has a lot of value, and ultimately it's just up to us to present ourselves as the best possible vegan that we can, because ultimately you're doing it as a service to the animals if you're not doing that, because you're going to save more lives when you make veganism something that's appealing to others, that they're going to want to join in on what veganism entails, even if they don't do 100% of everything all the time. It's definitely going to get people more inspired than if you are very off-putting and arms crossed and nope. You're just plant-based. You're not vegan yet.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting, because now that I'm thinking about this, because we're talking about it, I know maybe a couple. I only know a couple people that are that eat a plant-based diet, but are not necessarily ethical vegans. And I've honestly, I don't know if this is shame on me. I've never really engaged them in a conversation about like, well, why don't you take the next step? I don't know. I don't know if I should do that. It's also coworkers, so it's like I tend to not, unless it comes up, I tend to not engage people in those conversations anyways, because I don't want to create a negative work environment for myself, because that would be miserable. But I don't know. I don't think I've ever engaged someone in an ethical conversation who was already eating a plant-based diet. Maybe my dad, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting. I actually, you say that and it makes me think of times when I'll see people who have called themselves vegan, and I'll they'll post that they went to the aquarium or the zoo, and I'm always like, do I want to start this? And then it runs through my head, like, is this going to turn this person off? Is this going to strain a friendship that'll ultimately do more harm to the image of veganism? And going back to you ordering food in a restaurant, like, I also get that compulsion to not necessarily use the word vegan, because there is that horrible stereotype of, how do you know someone's vegan? Don't worry, they'll fucking tell you. You know, it's like, I get that. It's definitely, it's hard. I've done it a few times, and usually people are pretty receptive when you do bring up an additional thing. But again, it's just all about how you present that conversation. And usually it'll just be like a joking comment on Facebook or something, and not some serious, like, let's sit down and have a talk right now. Let me show you some videos about the circus. things like that, where you sort of, you know, your place in this person's life, you know how far you can push it. But yeah, it's a difficult thing to do. I find it's a lot harder to do outreach to friends and family than, at least, you know, overt outreach. Obviously, a lot of subtle outreach of just making food or mentioning something if a topic gets brought up. But sort of straight up, like, here, I'm here to make you vegan right now. I think that's a lot easier to do to strangers than it is to do to close friends.
Yeah. Yeah. And I again, it's like, I was saying, I kind of, like, maybe I should feel bad about that. But I think just making it known that you're vegan in a non-obnoxious way is important in itself, because it's like, I know just today I had one of my other co-teachers kind of just stopped in and was like, just kind of popped their head in and was asked me a question about veganism. And it was like, I answered it and they're like, oh, okay, cool, thanks. So, I mean, just being like that vegan resource, even if you're not like in their face about it 24/7, just being a resource for them is important in itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a little bit of an aside, but about sort of feeling good about being vegan. I actually, the other day, I went to Taco Bell and I used their app, which is great for vegans because it lets you see what every single ingredient is, lets you customize, switch the meat for beans, add potatoes, rice, guac, red sauce, whatever, you know, whatever it might be. And the person, when they handed me their food, she said, here's your two vegan chalupas, and gave me a wink. And then I drove off. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. Because normally, if that happens, not that I'm at Taco Bell all the time, but like they're just like, oh, here's your weird burrito or whatever. One time I pulled up and the person pulled my order and they're like, wow, you have some kind of taste. So it does feel good to identify as vegan and to find other people that identify as vegan, just like it feels good to find someone that listens to the same bands or likes the same music that you like.
Yeah.
And actually, to that point, I think that's actually kind of a crucial thing for maintaining veganism for most people, is finding that community. So that's something we haven't touched on at all, but that could be a huge reason to continue using the word vegan, just so people can sort of find their people. And that'll help prevent all the recidivism that we do see within veganism and even vegetarianism.
I agree.
All right. Well, I feel like we can probably leave it there. What say you, Paul?
I say yay.
All right. Well, as always, we would love to hear what you think about this topic. You can send us an email at thebeardedvegans@gmail.com. That's thebeardedvegans@gmail.com. Got a lot of emails lately for like comments asking where people can email us at, and we say it at the top and the bottom of every show, so
people are only listening to the middle of the show.
Thebeardedvegans@gmail.com. so send us an email there. You can leave a comment at thecommentist.com. that's also where you can go to find all the show notes. That's links to all the articles, any restaurant that we talk about, any video we talk about. You can find that there, as well as our previous episodes.
And people have been leaving a lot of comments, which is awesome. And Andy's been responding to a lot of them because he's the best and I am not. But
Paul, you're still the best.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But we definitely, like, we read all these comments. Basically, I'm pretty regularly refreshing the Commentist page just to see if anyone commented on it. So we are totally reading these. And a lot of people have been posting, like, really thorough, in-depth, thoughtful comments, and we really, really appreciate those, and like in the future, we've done this before. In the future, we definitely would love to have another episode where we just kind of respond to some of these comments. But like a lot of them are kind of so thought provoking and awesome that they could possibly deserve their own episode. So thank you to everyone that's been commenting, even if it was just a little comment. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's awesome to hear feedback from everyone. And on that note, before you go, just take a minute, go over to iTunes, give us a rate, subscribe, and if you're feeling nice, leave us a little review. Let us know what you think of the show, if you love it, if you hate it, either way. But especially if you love it, those 5-star reviews really help us get up in the charts and more people hear what we have to say.
Yeah.
And finally, coming up very soon, March 20th, I will be with my clothing brand Compassion Company at the Vegan Street Fair in Los Angeles, along with a ton of other great clothing companies and a billion different, literally 1 billion vegan food vendors all offering food for $3 or less. And after that, you can find me at V Market in Dallas, March 26th, and the Texas Veg Fest on April 2nd in Austin. And there's a bunch more events coming up after that, but we will announce them as we get closer to them. So,
although I do have some somber news, and that's the New England Veg Fest that I've been telling people I was going to be at on May 1st for the past like 7 episodes. I just realized I will no longer be able to be at that. So that's a bummer. We're going to go back and edit that out of all of our previous episodes, just so that no one expects me there. But Andy will be there, and I'll be at the New York City Veg Fest, which is the next weekend, May 7th and 8th.
And the person that will be replacing Paul at the New England Veg Fest is his surrogate bearded vegan, Josh.
Oh, yeah. That's good. So people mistake me for Josh all the time anyways. So it's like you can just – and he's awesome anyway, so go up and give him a hug and stuff like that. And
tell him how much you love the show.
Exactly. All right, Andy. Is that everything?
That's it.
All right, we are the Bearded Vegans, signing off. Don't let me down. Don't let me down. Don't let me down. Don't let me down. Nobody ever loved me like it does. You all right?
Yeah, no. I mean, that was the end of my thought.
Oh, okay. I thought something happened to you.